Welcome to the Confident Couples Podcast, episode 58. Today's episode is a conversation with our friends and work from home experts, Tim and Ellen. They've been working from home separately for several years now, and we found out they may be quarantine experts. They have a newborn son who was born just a couple months before the shutdown started. So they share with us what it's like to be quarantined for months and how they manage working from home together, but also apart. Let's get to it. All right. So I want to ask your working from home together, but separately tips. I feel like that's what people need.
Well, I think the first and most important one is you got to get yourself a good coffee machine situation going on.
Cute.
For your own health and well-being, and also for your pocketbook's well-being. We found ourselves, when we both started working from home together, it would be like, okay, you drop, you know, the kid off at daycare, and then just swing by Starbucks, and let's get some cappuccinos, maybe some sandwiches. Well, like, $11 a day before the day even starts really adds up quick on a daily basis. So, turns out you can drop a lot of money on an espresso machine. And you come out way ahead if you work from home.
Oh, it's still a profitable endeavor.
Oh, well, it paid for itself in like 5 months, I think.
For years, we went through, I'm not joking, 7 iterations of coffee, like Mr. Coffee, a Chemex, the AeroPress, the French Press, the Keurig. I'm forgetting others, but so many types of coffee. And then we just invested. So that may be a bold move if this is a temporary work from home situation, but I think it's worth considering.
Yeah.
Because
if we get any sponsorship dollars from Nespresso, it's not a bold move at all. I love it.
No, but you guys got like the legit espresso machine that's actually really hard to use right. Isn't that right?
You know, it's like middle of the road hard to use right. But yeah, you know, you can drop, like when you start looking at decent espresso machines, you're really in like the $1,000 to like $5,000 range. And we went on the low end of that. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, this is a crazy market that we didn't know existed. And now we're thrust into it. Let's dip our toes in the water and see what goes on. But just remember, like, how many cappuccinos from Starbucks equals $1,000? Answer, not many.
We thought we'd break even by a year in. We broke even like 4 months in.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
I love it. So tip number one is figure out your coffee situation.
I love it.
Yeah, very, very crucial. I think number two would be the initial adjustment for me anyway, like the first 3 months. There was a lot of Netflixing. I played a lot of FIFA. My days were awesome. or maybe feel motivated to go outside and do some work or just walk around. You can just do it. No one's watching. This is great. So there was definitely a transition period, and I think it's okay to have one. And you should feel kind of bad about it, but then you settle in quickly and make up for it because your office is always right next door.
So my question is, do you feel like you got bored of ignoring work and playing FIFA, or did you eventually just get so guilty that you had to stop?
Oh, I definitely got so guilty that I had to stop. I mean, I can consume Netflix and play video games for a very long time. So,
but I remember I'm still where I've come downstairs to like, and I'm like tiptoeing because you know, the door is shut, so you're very courteous. And I've opened the door and he's sitting in there watching a Netflix. I mean, I can't even take it.
And you're like, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a work day.
Well, I'm like, if you're going to not be working, like, oh, girl, no, we could not work together. Come on.
Yeah, oh my God.
I agree.
So I'm traditionally not home. I'll come home, you know, now I'm at home a lot more almost every day. So, but when I'm not home regularly, I'll come home and I'll like wander into Sarah's office and she'll be in the middle of a call and it's a video conference. And it's like, I'm on my phone and I'm doing something. And then I quickly poke my head up and I start to say hi. And I realize she's on a phone and on the phone. I quickly U-turn my way back out. Maybe my quick little entry to the conference call and then back out to the rest of the house. And it drives her insane.
It does drive me insane. But the worst part of my office is it has no door. It's like just an opening from the foyer into my office. So tell me, do your offices have doors that close?
100%. Yeah. I would say from our like office geography or landscape, I'm not sure what,
you know,
whatever.
I like geography. It sounds very important.
There is a north and south. That's why I said geography. So I work in literally the upstairs corner, one corner of the house, and Tim works in the downstairs opposite corner. And I think that that is also helpful if you can be as far away as possible from each other, which, you know, if people are in an apartment, that's going to be challenging, but like as far away as possible. And the door is key.
Yeah.
Because then you can just shut the door. Like if you're on a call, you got to shut the door. And if you don't shut the door and you're on a call and someone interrupts you, like that's on you.
That's on you. It's party foul on you.
So the door, you've both mutually agreed, is the signal. Like, don't come in. I'm doing something important. Probably not playing FIFA, etc.
Questionable, but yes.
I would say we're not always 100% respectful of the door because, you know, you have to get up and open it after the call. So, like, I do a quiet turn and peek, and Tim's video camera is not pointed at the door. There's no danger of that.
Yeah, there's another issue, like strategic placement of your monitors. Like, people can't see them from outside, you know, for example, or that if you're on a video conference call, like if someone were to just walk in, they couldn't just automatically see you. So,
that's like the newscaster video. I saw that one from like a year ago, right? Where the guy's toddler opens the door in the back corner.
Oh, yeah. And then he's just wreaking havoc.
Yes. And the whole thing is in view because the door is in the back corner of his video while he's on live television.
Yep. Those are the best.
So good.
This whole quarantine situation has given way to, you know, like the worst work from home situations because people don't have the space set up. They've just been like forced into it really quickly. And so people are working out of their, you know, living rooms or dining rooms. And you see that stuff all the time on video conferences or you hear it. There's just, yeah, they just can't get away from it. And in some respect, you're like, well, of you can't get mad about this. You're sitting in the dining room. Like, of course your five-year-old's going to come in. He wants lunch. Downstairs.
Yep.
So I love it. Offices as far apart as humanly possible inside your home.
I'm digging on the video conference where the attendee is sitting in their master bedroom on their bed. You see the big headboard.
No, so awkward.
It's led to, I love the video conference with people working from home because it leads to a lot of questions. Like, why did you use that wallpaper? That's insane. Like, it's like a 1980s drug den. What's going on there?
What's all the cinder block? Where are you at right now?
Yeah. Is that a sunken living room? This is unbelievable.
Like, are you in an underground bunker?
Right. Or I just saw the other day, my like good colleague, he has an indoor pool. And so I'm like, what's that in the background? Like, where are the kids like wearing their bathing suits running around inside? He's like, oh, we have an indoor pool. Wow.
Hashtag
good job.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's the other awkward part. You find out how nice everyone's house is.
I recently moved my office and it's been relocated to, I suppose we can call it the entertainment room. And so now, like any video conference, like there's a shuffleboard table and a dartboard in the background. And I think I need to get like a pull down, like green screen or something, because I just feel like it's not communicating what I need it to professionally.
So if you did that, here's a professional question around the Zoom green screen or like the Zoom background, professional or not professional move to use that in a video conference?
I mean, I can't support it professionally, but
I 100% support it professionally. If you can be like Captain Picard on the bridge, you know, while you're having a meeting, there's not more amazing than that.
But if you had a green screen, Ellen, you could do it for sure.
I could do so many great things. I'd prefer to put myself like Judge Judy on a courtroom bench with a gavel. Just, you know, keep it legal.
Wow.
I love it.
Very professional.
Welcome to my life.
I would just put myself on a beach somewhere, which probably also doesn't communicate the right message.
I'd put myself in a cocktails and dreams, you know, tiki hut.
Yes.
Dream, mm-hmm. One day at a time.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yep.
I think I put myself in a zombie apocalypse lair. Seems very timely.
That wouldn't make anyone feel good right now.
You just sing that a World War Z, right? Isn't that the Brad
Pitt? Yeah, such a good movie. Great thing to Netflix right now, Timmy. It's just brought it out. They just came out on Netflix, I believe.
Thank you for that. That's a big win. I mean, fast-moving zombies, it doesn't get scarier than that.
Exactly. I mean, they're slow guys. It's old school. That's so 90s, like 2010, Brad Pitt, fast-moving zombies, terrifying.
So terrifying.
Rewrote the rule book from everything before then, like overnight.
Yep. Game changer. And now we're all just waiting. Hoping the zombies stay away from us.
Should be really interesting things.
All right. Any more tips for us new coworkers?
I would say just keeping on the like just physical nature of your office, like you should set up a space. Even if this is like a temporary thing, it's going to be a longer temporary situation, I think, than anyone's maybe ready to acknowledge. So it's like just mark off a spot in the house where your stuff is, can stay set up, get yourself the monitors, get a chair that's comfortable. And just mark your spot. Because when we first moved back, I worked without a real office for like, I mean, months and months and months and months and months. And it's just, it does not help you feel like you're getting anything done for sure.
Yeah. You don't feel like you're going to work if you're just opening a laptop on the couch.
Right. Everything just feels so chaotic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other thing I would say is coordinating with your significant other in the morning, just to know what's going on. When are you free? When are you in meetings? If you can lay out most of that up front, then great. You know, you can determine, should we grab lunch together? Are you going to be busy working on a proposal or something else? Or, hey, should we go for a walk and actually get out of the house, which is one of the traps of working from home? Or maybe you can schedule in a shower because, I mean, you're working from home. You might skip that for a day or two.
You can get up to three
and then practice. Yeah, then you yourself just want to take a shower. You're like, I can smell myself. This is not good.
I love the coordinating of schedules. Is this like a ritual you do at a certain time, like during breakfast, or is it just like whenever you can have a conversation, that's when you do it?
Well, in preparation for this, I was telling him, I was like, I think these are like these are tips we know work because when we do them, they work, but like we don't do them regularly. So we don't really have per se a set time that we do that. But when we do it, it makes the day better. So yeah, just like morning, usually we do it after we drop Jack off where there's a moment of peace. And then it's just like, okay, what's going on? Like what needs to be done in the day? And like, I think in the current situation, you know, in normal circumstances, it's like, all right, who's making dinner? Or like, do you have to run out somewhere? Or who's getting the kid picked up? Obviously, no one's going anywhere right now. You're working from home, but you know, similar things like who's doing the laundry, who's doing the dishes, who is still making dinner, you know, or like, especially if people have kids, like, okay, I have a call at one that I cannot be interrupted on. Can you, you know, are you free to
man the children? You need to batten down the hatches, man the children, make sure they leave me alone at all costs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or tell us a little bit more. Not open the door under any circumstance at 1 o'clock.
Yes. So I want to hear more about the transition from working from home with your son going to school versus working from home with your whole family with you.
It's been interesting. I would say we're fairly lucky if that word makes sense in this context, because I'm still amping up from maternity leave. So I don't have a full schedule right now. And thank goodness, because I don't know, it would be just a disaster. So yeah, it's just a lot of like wrangling chaos. I've taken basically every meeting I've had in the last 2 months with a baby strapped to me, bouncing. And he's noisy. I refer to him as my coworker, my colleague, because what else can you do? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, parents will fight the good fight of screen time, right, at all costs. And when you work from home and you've got a kid that's homesick, or in this situation is home, like the, you know what they'll be quiet about? They'll be quiet about watching a show or a movie. Where you're like, what movie's going to entertain them for this hour long period? Okay. And click go. Right. I mean, that's really realistically, I think that's how most working parents have to get through a situation where their kids at home when they work, it's like whatever tablet or show or whatnot that can get you through, you're going to have to do that throughout the day. And don't feel shameful about it. It's how the rest of the world has to do it.
I love you admitting that, because I feel like so many parents right now are just posting online like their kids' daily schedule hour by hour and their homeschool plans and stuff like that.
I'd like to meet the person who can actually get their kid to follow that kind of crazy schedule. They're not to be stereotypical, but it's probably a daughter. Like, it's probably a girl. Their kid is a girl who's like 8. Loves school, and she loves school. Yeah. And that is the only child who's following any sort of schedule.
So you're talking about 8-year-old Sarah then?
Yes.
Her 8-year-old days. She really cried.
No, but I think most parents are like, okay, from 11 to 12, you'll be watching Shimmer and Shine. And from 1 to 2, you'll be watching this movie.
Yep. There's important things, though. You have to make sure that the video is longer than the length of your meeting. You have to make sure that there are snacks and water accessible.
Key.
You have to make sure that the video selected is one that will like withstand the test of time. So there's not like halfway through moment where they're like, I don't like that one after all. I need to be switched. And I'm speaking from real life experience. The number of meetings where I have had a child bust through the door complaining because they don't like the video, or it's, or like Netflix, God help me, Netflix have stopped and it's like loading right. Or like it's supposed to go to the autumn, like Netflix, a blessing and a curse. It will just go to the next one in the series unless your internet is slow, and then it's loading, and then you have like someone tugging on your sleeve like, it's not working. And then you're like trying to leave a phone call while also trying to navigate Netflix with someone chirping in your ear. It's all very stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, a pro tip in the whole like using screen time to keep your kid away at vital times of your workday. Don't think you could like lock your door and that's going to like help you out.
Oh, no.
It's be way worse, because you're in a meeting and all of a sudden it's like and screaming, and you're like, what's that? Are you okay? You're like, yep, I'm okay. I'm just in a hostage situation right now.
Yeah, I'm like, what happened? He's like, he's banging on my door. I'm like, why was he banging on your door? He's like, I locked him. I'm like, why would you lock it? Of course he's going to bang on the door. I'm going to leave that open, and you just tell him to be quiet like a mouse.
I just needed it to be like halfway open and like have a blow dart. Just get him. It's devastating.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, if you have a job where you have to be on phone calls that you're the leader of.
Last year was like the snowpocalypse, polar vortex. Like, there was a 2-week period where Kalamazoo public schools were closed, which meant Jack was home with me, and Tim happened to be in Minnesota for most of that time for some reason.
Lucky me.
And so it was like a preview of this year where you were just working constantly with a child home, and like it really can't be done. And they just
I have to say, at least right now, everyone's going through it. So yes. I think everyone's more forgiving. Like, they don't expect that you're in a perfectly silent place. I probably had 5 or 6 meetings this week where people's kids were just on it with them, like hanging out on the video. And I mean, totally fine, because everybody's home. And what else are they going to do? Not schedule calls?
Right. This is like, I made this comment to Tim. I'm not sure if he 100% agrees, but so with you, Sarah, it's like, this is our moment of solidarity. Like, you can get interrupted and it's okay, because like, this is not a choice. You don't have any choice. You had to work from home and your kid had to be home, and we're all suffering through it. So it's like, there should be no judgment about kids interrupting on conference calls right now. Just none. Nope. And if your employer's giving you a hard time about that, then it's like, you better check yourself. But,
yeah, bud, you better listen to that right there.
Yeah, I'm listening. Yep.
Kids go in his office office is open. Not right now.
Kid-friendly crew. Kid-friendly office.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the exception to that, and this is like, this is kind of interesting in this time, is like, you know, I'm really forgiving of your kid, but like, your dog who saw the delivery man who, you know, is now just going crazy in the background. It's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, that's that was totally your choice to have this dog.
The dog in the cage.
Yep. Let's do a little training here, people.
Is the same thing applicable to children or not really?
Not in this circumstance.
<I'm> kidding. Kidding, listeners.
No, but you'd be surprised. I think one of the funny things that Ellen and I ran into when, you know, people find out you're working from home, or even your own, some of your colleagues who don't, you know, they'd be like, oh, so, you know, are your kids at home? And you're like, what do you mean are our kids at home? Like, how could we work on a daily basis if our kids were like, no, he goes to daycare. What are you talking about? But there's like this perception. It's like, oh, you're working from home. So, I mean, obviously your kid could stay home. Absolutely not.
Everyone's finding out right now how hard that actually is.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Times people were like, oh, so Jack's home with you. That's so great. You get time. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I have a job to do.
Have you ever spent 8 hours during the working day with your child? Or just 8 hours in general beyond the weekend? Like, are you serious? Your kid's not at daycare? How are you doing?
So you guys mentioned that you've basically been in quarantine for a couple months now, which is longer than most of us. So I'd like to ask about that, how you're dealing with it and how you're feeling.
I feel like I've really hit my stride. You know, you just settle into it at a certain point. I actually feel oddly more connected. What's interesting, now that everyone is stuck at home, there's like a lot more video chats and a lot more like virtual hangouts. So I'm feeling much more socially connected than I was 2 months ago with a newborn, where everyone else was still out having fun in the real world. So that's been weird, but good.
Yeah, it's like we're all newborn quarantining now.
Yeah.
No, I've just, you know, I've really continued on my Netflix streak because I take the early evening shift with our baby. So, you know, we get him sleeping and then I just continue to like, you know, crush Netflix, which was the exact same that happened in the first 2 months of his life. So.
Yesterday I came downstairs and I was like, what the hell are you watching? And he's like, Police Academy 5. I'm like, please, there's 5 of them? He's like, I already watched the other 4 this week. I'm like,
yeah.
Like hours of your life.
So what's great about this is that we're learning that the way to occupy Bud and Tim is the same way to occupy a young child.
Just put them in front of the TV, make sure there are snacks and
some water and some beer, whatever.
The big difference maker is that hopefully we can figure out how to change Netflix or switch to videos if we don't like it, and we can deal with slow internet better, or we can at least, you know what, call and complain to our internet provider to get faster internet.
But I think I probably still have the same reaction when the internet's slow, just stomping around.
Making everyone else suffer.
He's still wandering into Ellen's office saying, it won't work.
And looking at her, even while she's staring back at me, completely busy. Like, yeah?
Actually, the number of times that he has come in and wants to complain about, is the internet working for you? Rearrange the, like, I don't even know what they're called because it's, I don't care at all, but
our mesh network, yes. All right, the points need to be moved every now and again, and it's really frustrating.
Do you need some IT help, Timmy? You need some access point help?
I do.
Good at access points. We have like 7 of them. I complained one day that my internet was dropping in the office, and he's like, "I'm on it."
Yep.
And all of a sudden, like 4 access points show up, and he has to drill into the ceiling in 12 different places. And I'm like, "What do I do?"
The thing you can do with networking and YouTube now is amazing.
It's really unbelievable.
Yep. But,
I mean, it was a heroic effort what he went through to make sure that I had internet at all times.
Yep.
Wow. Way to go. Way to fight for your own well-being, bud.
Paying off now that you're working from home as well.
That's right.
I got you, bro. It is paying off big time for sure.
Yeah, because where we're sitting in the dining room in Bud's new office is like right underneath one of these access points. So yep. I think it's going well.
Yes, it is. What about noise canceling headphones?
We're not that technologically advanced.
No,
nope.
But I think if I had them for like flying purposes or something, then I'd probably bust them out.
We're battling with my loud voice.
Loud noises on
conference calls or on calls in general while on noise canceling headphones. And by we, I mean Sarah.
He just doesn't recognize his own volume because he can't hear it. And so I'm miles away in my office and I have to ask him not to point his voice in the office's direction because I'm recording videos and you can hear him in the background of all of them.
I think she texted me on Wednesday and was like, can you go stand somewhere else in the house?
You're literally 100 feet away, but it's too close.
It's so loud. It's like you're right there. So I think noise-canceling headphones are good because he doesn't hear what I'm doing and doesn't get bothered by it, but I get bothered by his volume in return.
I started dabbling back with the earbuds for conference calls and do it.
Good.
You know, doing the noise-canceling for non-talking stuff and doing the earbuds for talking. I don't know. You got to tell me.
Oh, I'll let you know.
Another thing that I think matters, and I didn't have it for like the first year and a half of working from home, is having like some type of headset to like speak into and listen from, because it's so much more clear in both your voice and what you're able to hear, that it was like a game changer when I got a headset for all the video conferencing and conference calls that I take. So, yes. And then the key there is get a, get something that's Bluetooth enabled so you can wander around.
So are you a one ear headset guy or a two ear headset guy?
I'm like an air traffic controller, two ear headset guy.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. It's very
expensive. Yes. I love it. You got the microphone and the two heads and the two earphones. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. There's this, one of my former colleagues turned me on to, he's like, oh, do you have a Parrot headset? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you got to check them out. I mean, they're noise canceling, you know, they're wireless. They have this huge range. They don't get interfered with. And so I looked into them. They're like trucker, like premium trucker. I'm sorry. That was our coworker. Yeah. But they're like premium trucker headsets. And, turns out they're awesome. They figured it out.
Oh yeah. Got to wear them all the time. I will say I heard in open office situations that a lot of people use big headphones to signal like, this is my can't be bothered time, you know, like quiet time, almost like shutting the door when you don't have a door. But Bud just wears his all day long. So I never know when he's actually available.
Bud, is that strategic?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Don't want to let her know on my secrets.
No, what he's actually doing is watching a movie all day while working. I cannot figure out. I cannot do that. People listen to podcasts while working. I can't listen and think at the same time.
Sarah, we're so compatible.
Yeah.
We're so compatible. I can't take the noise.
And Tim and Bud are compatible.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Truth be told, I have this amazing, very, you know, small, most entertaining male bowler trophy that I got from a Greg Jennings Bowl with a Pro event in Kalamazoo. It was an amazing event. But the way that the little bowling guy is set up on it and the way that, like, the little tiny plaque that stands on it is set, I can perfectly set my phone horizontally on it and it holds it wonderfully.
We're gonna need a photo of that for the show notes.
That is awesome.
Totally fair. Yep. So it meets all the video watching needs while working.
It's phenomenal.
Guys, don't worry, I've distracted the baby with an Oberon can.
Yes.
But a real hit.
Well, any other thoughts and takeaways for the confident couples who need your help?
We've been so helpful so far.
You've been killing it.
Oh man, the only thing that I wish we will do, and it's the easiest thing to do that we haven't, and Sarah, maybe you've experienced this a lot, like the number of Amazon deliveries that hit this household is, you know, is out of control. And so the number of times that a doorbell will ring during the day from you know, from either the, you know, USPS or UPS or some rando delivering Amazon packages. It's like you're in a meeting and all of a sudden it's like, ding dong. And that just, I feel like it doesn't play well with a crowd on the other end. So maybe like a do not ring.
At least you don't have a dog who loses her mind every time the doorbell rings. So you're way ahead on that.
For me, I feel like the only thing that's been helpful, and this is like maybe just also just good relationship advice, not confined to working from home, but very helpful working from home, is like defining who's doing what chores around the house. Like it's like, all right, Tim, you're in charge of laundry right now, and I'll be in charge of dishes. And then like, that's the thing you have to get done.
What do you guys call that? You call it captains, right? Like chore captains?
Mm-hmm. Chore captains. Yeah. Also because it really reinforces at the end of the week when your house is a complete shambles and you don't have clothes to wear, that you're like, I've literally been here all the time and yet none of this is done. How can that be?
Well, then you don't need a shame about it. You know, it's like, I am out of underwear, and I know that I'm not the captain of laundry, so.
Yep. How does that conversation go? I'm out of underwear, and this is your fault?
Yeah. Passive aggressive around here, I'd say.
And I mean, you already feel the shame because you know that you should be shamed. Because you're also out of underwear, yeah.
Exactly. I like that, though. Assign your store captains for the week.
Shame is a great teacher.
It really is.
Evidently, shame is a mantra. Yeah. It's one of his love languages.
It is one of my ridicule and condescension.
No, judgment and mockery.
Judgment and mockery.
I don't think that's in the book, though.
It's definitely not in the book. But when we finished the book, I was like, no, something's not hitting the mark here.
Yeah. Everyone has their strengths.
We just took that test recently, and like both of us were zero gift scale. Neither of us want gifts.
What do I need to give you guys?
That should cut down on your Amazon deliveries.
No, we're happy to gift things to ourselves, just not to each other. Yep.
It's too much pressure.
We could talk about your birthday parties.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do for your birthday? Like, Tim just tells me.
Pizza party, just like Tim's birthday party. And I have the same kind of dream birthday party.
It's like they're five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all the stuff I ever wanted as a kid, like, it's not like I don't want that anymore. Like, yes, I want a bounce house. Thank you.
Yep. And then, you know, Ellen, you were talking about how, you know, you're doing more video chats with friends or more connected than you ever were. And one of our other friends recently was like, yeah, we should do like this video hangout. And I'm like, why can't we just go home and like sit at home alone by ourselves and not talk to each other like we have forever?
I don't know why the change. Why so much?
It's like, what's the big difference here?
I think the bigger problem was that the discussion was around having a video game night, and Bud hates games.
Game night, yes. Not like
he's like, well, let's not try to figure that out.
Nope.
He does. It's one of his.
I love Taboo. I dust some people at Taboo all day long.
Is it because you like to be the buzzer guy? Is that really?
Oh.
Okay.
Sarah and I on a Taboo team are like lethal. Wow. Like,
challenge accepted.
Yes, we can do that for Taboo. Sure.
Wah, wah, wah.
when you flip up a card and you tell your wife, or now it was girlfriend at the time, when you tell your girlfriend, what do you get married under? And she says gazebo. And we go on in the next card. Like, that's like, tough to beat. Yep.
That was the crowning Taboo moment.
Yep.
That is amazing. Maybe before Ellen and I were married, maybe we were married already.
No, we were not.
Yeah, we were not. We played, I love Mad Gabs. It's where, you got to just say this like awkward sentence or jumbly words, but then phonetically they sound like something, right? And so we're playing it, and Ellen and her friend and my sister-in-law were crushing my brother and I. We were just so angry and mad about it. And so we had this epic comeback and ended up winning. And we were sitting on an ottoman during this epic comeback. So we affectionately named ourselves the Ottoman Empire. And we're screaming and yelling. And we've never played that game as a couple ever again.
I'm really glad that that's the game story you choose to tell. And not the many other examples of just really.
I may have ruined a family holiday.
When I play the games together for the first 3 years we were married.
Yeah.
There's a great book that you'd love then, Timmy. It's like How to Win Games and Beat People.
That sounds up my alley.
It's like a take on, you know, how to make friends and influence people. It's How to Win Games and Beat People. It's like it's an awesome book on game theory for various games that you can play and how to beat people. It's awesome.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, to wrap up this episode, thank you both for being on with us and sharing your infinite wisdom and many beverages.
Yes.
Yeah. No, thanks for having us. This is fun.
Absolutely.
You guys are the best. We can't thank you enough. You know, we're going to get this episode out to everybody who's looking for help during this crazy quarantine time and trying to work together and handle kids and work and being in the same house all the time. So this is awesome.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah. See you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Confident Couples podcast. If we've helped your relationship in any way, we'd love to hear about it. That's what keeps us going and keeps us recording these episodes. Let us know by submitting an anonymous contact form at budandsarah.com or send an Instagram message to @BudAndSarah, or best of all, leave a positive review on your podcast app. We hope to hear from you, and we'll talk to you soon.